today on It's Time.
And so it says in verse 6 that he believed God, and God accounted it to Abraham for righteousness.
Welcome to It's Time, the daily Bible teaching program of Mike Kessler, pastor of the River Christian Fellowship in Twin Falls, Idaho. Today, we're going through the book of Genesis. So, turn there in your Bible and follow along with Pastor Mike.
It's time these wounds to heal.
Let's go to Genesis chapter 15, and we're going to look at the continuation of the promises of God to Abram. Now, remember, God's made promises to you, not that we repeat them mindlessly to God to either shame God into giving us what we want or in some way making God feel obligated. These promises that are recorded for us are to remind us that we need to be reminded. God doesn't forget, but we forget sometimes, as we're going to see, even in this great patriarch, Abram, as we read this morning. Let's pray. Father, as we read these words, I pray you bring comfort to every single listener. And Lord, that we would realize our faith is in you. It's not in ourselves. It's not in a government program. It's not in the successes of our past. It's not in our degrees or our friends. It is in you. And so as we read these words this morning, may your Holy Spirit speak to us, encourage us in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you have your Bible, I'd like to invite you to open them to the book of Genesis chapter 15. And it says here, after these things, what things? Well, again, the return from the slaughter of the kings. And this is also where Melchizedek met Abram, and Abram gave to him a tenth of everything that he had taken. So he says, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram. Now, this is the first time in the scripture that we find the phrase, the word of the Lord. Because again, how God comes to us and speaks to us may be different in many different situations. Sometimes the word of the Lord will come to you through reading his word. I believe it's possible for God to speak to us sometimes through dreams. I believe it's possible for God to speak to us through a friend or going to church and or hearing God's word read will also sometimes give you that word of God that you need to carry you through to the next great challenge that God brings all of us through. You know, God loves you so much that he's not going to just say, okay, you have faith in me, that's good enough. But God continues to stretch our faith through the faithfulness of the things that he's brought us all through, so that we'll be better equipped for the bigger challenges ahead. I know a lot of times we want to just say, well, God, you know, I'm happy right here. I don't want any bigger challenges. Nah, that's not the God we serve. God's got bigger things for you than you think. And so letting God be God is so important. So the word of the Lord came to Abraham after these things, after he had this tremendous victory. And I'm sure that probably Abraham was a little concerned. Five kings being whooped by 318 people with Abram. Of course, they didn't see the invisible God of Abram, but they experienced the effect of it. I imagine that probably Abram was thinking, these guys are going to try to come back and hit me again. They're going to regroup and come back. Well, notice what it says here. The word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Now, in this particular case, it was in a vision that God spoke to him. And as we mentioned earlier, God can speak to us in many different ways. And he said, I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. Always remember that. That's the same thing that God says to us, that I'm your shield, I'm your protector, and your exceeding great reward. Again, a reward is something that you get at the end of the event. You get a reward when you cross the finish line. You get a reward in heaven that God has great things for you. You know, I feel sorry for so many Christians that I've talked to in my life that say, well, I just want to get to heaven by the skin of my teeth. I don't. I want you. I want myself to have great rewards in heaven. You know, the Bible says, he that wins souls is wise. And so to equip you to be that kind of a communicator that can communicate to other people the great things God has done for you and what God will do for them, that's going to carry a reward. In other words, you're not only having your faith built, as we mentioned earlier, your faith is growing, but you're also one who helps others build their faith. That's why we're all not instantly raptured when we accept Christ as our Savior, because God's got great things for you, not only here, but to lay up for yourself treasure in heaven. And I shared this so many times. Everybody living today is determining what position you're going to hold in heaven forever. So how important every day really is to have your life line up to what the Bible says. Well, he says here, I am your exceedingly great reward. I like that. But Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? Eliezer was his right-hand guy. And according to customs, you would leave what you have to those that were closest to you. Now, if you had a son or a family, you would leave your inheritance to them. But if you did not have a child, well, then you would leave it to your best friend. That's the way many people even do that today. Now, I know many people, they have in their will that they're going to help different things. And I've included in my will things that will help the kingdom of God here at the church and other things that will continue to preach the gospel into my family. And so he says, but Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless? What he's saying is this. God, you promised that my seed would outnumber the sands of the sea. If you go back to the first part of chapter 12, you'll see this promise that was laid out for Abraham that through you, all the nations of the world would be blessed. God says, I'm your exceedingly great reward. And Abraham is kind of saying something like, well, God, I have no one to give my inheritance to, so what? What's the big deal? I can't pass anything along. So if I have this great reward, I can't bless those in my family with it. And so I think in the midst of his great victory that Abram had, I think there's a little bit of melancholy heart that's there saying, well, God, it's great that I won this and this happened, but for what reason? You see, God looks at things different than we do. I've shared this many times as well. Our Father, which art in heaven. Remember, God's got a different perspective of daily life than you do. The Bible warns us, don't judge anything according to its appearance. But yet you might say, well, that's all we have. Well, that's true unless you're a Christian. Then you have God's heavenly view of everything. Our Father, which art in heaven. God's got a different perspective of everything you're going through, different than yours. That's okay. That's great. I want God's perspective. I might see it as doom and gloom, or I might say, oh, wow, this is the real deal. This is great. And God says, be careful. All that glitters ain't gold. You got to be careful sometimes, because this is the way that sometimes the world presents itself. So as he says here, but Abraham said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the only heir I have is my friend Eliezer? Then Abram said, look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house that is my heir. I have no one that was really born from me that's really my offspring that I can give these things to. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him saying, this one shall not be your heir, speaking of Eliezer, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. And then he brought him outside and said, now look towards the stars of heaven and count the stars if you're able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. God reiterated to him what he'd already told him. Now, again, it isn't that we have to go over and over to repeat these promises as if God forgot. I oftentimes you'll go into different bookstores or whatever, and you'll see Jabez's Prayer. And I'm just going to recite Jabez's Prayer like it's my little, you know, eeny beeny, chili beeny thing I'm going to do. No, that's not the way God works. It's not an incantation. A prayer is not something that, well, you know, God, I prayed this and now you're obligated. You do it my way because I use my faith words. No, that's not the way God works. These things are written to remind us. We're the ones that forget. Have you ever noticed that? You ever went into the store and go, what did I come in here for? Why is that? We forget. You don't have to be in your late 90s to have Alzheimer's and realize you can't remember things. We're easily distracted. But God knows that. So that's why he writes things down in his word. And oftentimes he repeats them. Not so I can repeat them back to God as if God doesn't care about me or is illiterate or is forgotten, but that I need to remember why God wrote those things. Otherwise, I can begin to believe that God forgot me. Well, he brings him outside. Now, one of the things you'll find in life, God will use oftentimes very natural creation of his to remind you of promises that he's given you. Sometimes when I'll be outside and I'll look up in the sky and I'll see clouds. And I think about that and I think, well, God, you know, it's funny that your word says you're going to come in the clouds. And I look at those clouds and I wonder, are you going to come in that one or whatever? It's funny. God will remind us sometimes as things as simple as clouds or when you see a hair from your head that is on the dresser and the Bible says every one of your hairs are numbered. You look at the stars in the sky. God said to Abram, that's the way your descendants are going to be. You know, it's the simple things that I have found in life that God will communicate to us. He didn't make it complicated. In fact, he said, except a man becomes a child, he'll not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Not in understanding, but in simple faith, understanding what God wants to do for you and me. So he says, he brought him outside and he says, the stars are going to be like your descendants. Notice verse 6, and Abram believed in the Lord. Isn't that weird? It's a decision of the heart. He just said, yep. Okay, God, I'll take you at your word. And so it says in verse 6 that he believed God and God accounted it to Abraham for righteousness. It's weird that without faith, it's impossible to please God. And here's one of those great verses that it's by faith we're saved. He believed God, and God says, deal. See, that's the way it is when we accept Christ as our Savior. We just say, okay, Lord, I believe you died on the cross for me, and you took away my sins. So please do that in Jesus' name. And God says, deal. Just like that. I've had people say, well, how could just a prayer or just a simple statement of faith change your life, change your destiny? And I've often said, well, you know, it's something interesting, but you have a title of your car. You have a title deed on your house. And by just simply signing that piece of paper, either will allow you to live in a new house or to move out of the one you're in. Signing your name on a piece of paper, on a pink slip, on a car will no longer allow you to own that car. And that's just a simple signature. So when it comes to eternity, God does something far greater than pen and ink. He takes you at your word. And that's a good thing. So when we say, I believe in you, Lord, God says, okay, I'll account that to you as righteousness. And see, it's by faith we're saved, not works of righteousness, let any man would boast. And this is the great problem that oftentimes we find in our lives. And so he says, so then he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldees to give you this land, the land of Canaan, to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, how shall I know that I will inherit it? Now, it is interesting to me. This is funny. Because one verse, he believes God. And almost the next verse, he says, so how will I know what you're saying is true? Does sound a little bit like you and me? How we can see how God has delivered us through every single problem in our life. And yet it seems like the very next trial will go, God, where are you? I can't find you. And, you know, we're worried and things like that. Abram was just like us. And yet it's interesting that oftentimes they would front Abraham to Jesus as if he was a superstar. We really study the life of Abraham later on as God changed his name. And he was quite a rascal sometimes. He told Pharaoh that his wife was his sister. Now, well, it was kind of his half-sister, so he was only half lying. But nevertheless, he was doing it to deceive Pharaoh. And yet, they would look at Jesus and say, well, our father Abraham, as if he was a superstar, not realizing that Abram had lapses of faith, would lie, would do all kinds of things. But yet, he continued to hang in there, serve God, and God accounted to his life that is righteousness. Remember, God does that to you too. You know, I've talked to a lot of people that say, well, I'd like to be a Christian, but I'm afraid I'll fail. Well, let me tell you, you will at times in your life. You just will, just the way it works. But John tells us in the epistles of John, chapter 1, 1 John, he says, if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, which is Christ Jesus. We have somebody that will make up the difference of what we are not. And that is so important because we never approach God in our righteousness. We approach God in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He's what paid the price for us. So he says to him, God speaks to Abram now, and they get into the deal, the art of the deal. Here it is. So in verse 9, God said to Abram, bring me a 3-year-old heifer, a 3-year-old female goat, and a 3-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. By the way, the third year is the prime year. It's also interesting. It was the third year in which Jesus was crucified after he began his earthly ministry when he was 30 years old. So it's kind of an interesting picture here. Verse 10, then he brought all these to him, and he cut them in two down the middle and placed each piece opposite the other, but he did not cut the birds in two. There's some thought why, because maybe a turtle dove is a representative of the Holy Spirit. And it's not to be divided. We know that Jesus' body was, you might say, not divided, but you might say brutally beaten for us, as he was whipped by the Romans before he was crucified, that covenant that God the Father made with us through Jesus Christ. Well, anyway, it says, and notice it says, he put them on both sides. And so what would happen, and we find this other places in the Bible, they would cut the animals in two, and then you would walk between the animals. So you'd lay animal on one side, half of it, the other half, blood covenant, blood sacrifice, you might say, and they would walk between it, reciting what the covenant was between the two people. Now, the idea was, this is what would happen to you if you break this covenant. That's how serious this blood covenant type of thing was. That you were actually saying, I will identify with a divided carcass if I break this covenant with you. Now remember, God is the one that told Abram, go get the animals. God is the initiator of the covenant. He always is. He is always the one that will do better than you. We are responders He's the initiator. Always remember that. And here's why that's important. Because the Bible says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. I really believe that God knocks on every person's heart at least once in their life to respond to Him. You never want to turn that away. God is the initiator. You're the responder. What have you done with that call? What have you done with God's love? See, that's what's really important. We have to look at that and say, well, Lord, you've given me a little. I want to take it out, make more, and lead more people to you. See, God's going to reward that. And that's good. You're laying up for yourself treasure in heaven. Well, this covenant that God initiated, Abraham now is walking between them. And notice verse 11. And when the vultures came down on the carcasses, Abram drove them away. Wow, that's weird. These carcasses that were divided, Abraham is now waiting for God to walk through the divided carcasses, and vultures come. Do you know there's always vultures that want to take away the covenant that God has made with you? That blood covenant through Jesus Christ? There's always vultures that do that. Well, notice it says, Abram shooed them away. And as the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram. And behold, horror and great darkness fell upon him. Wow, that's kind of different, isn't it? So in the midst of this deal that God is making, God gives to Abram a vision, you might say, a dream in this trance of what was going to happen to him. Not only God is in this covenant saying, I'm going to give you this land, you're going to have descendants that are going to outnumber the stars of the sea, but also your descendants are going to go through some hard times. Now, I wish as many times in the Bible, we could just close the book and say, no, I'm a king's kid. I want Erico and tinted glass. I just want to do it my way. I don't want to have any fears. I don't want to have any alarms. I don't want to have any heartache in my life. But you know, remember, fruit is always grown in the valley, not on the mountaintops. And we develop our relationship with God oftentimes through the many things that we go through. And so now he gives him this dark vision, you might say, and he begins to tell him about it. He says, then God said to Abram, know certainly. Now, this is in his vision. This is in this horrific dream that he gets right before God signs the contract on these parted animals and this blood covenant and all. He says to Abram, know certainly that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs. This is exactly what happened when the children of Israel went down into Egypt. And will serve them, speaking of the Egyptians, and they will afflict them 400 years. Also, the nation whom they serve, I will judge. And we remember that tremendous judgment that came upon the land of Egypt. In fact, what's noteworthy of this, Egypt was a world power up to that time. After Moses and the children have left Egypt, they were still a country, but they never ever again were ever a world power. That was the end of them. God, in fact, did judge them. Afterward, they will come out with great possessions. And we remember this was one of the things that Moses told the children of Israel, go borrow from your masters everything you can, get all the gold, get everything you can, because when we leave in the morning, it's going to go with you. And not only did the possessions of Egypt leave with the children of Israel, but also all those lambs that they had eaten the night before left with them. And by the way, when we go out on our journey, we have the lamb inside of us too. Remember that.
Thanks for joining us on It's Time, as Pastor Mike teaches verse by verse through the Bible. If you've missed a program or would like to catch up, you can do so by getting it from the It's Time podcast in the iTunes store, or by downloading it from the It's Time website at theriverchristianfellowship.com. On behalf of Pastor Mike and the rest of us here at the River Christian Fellowship, Thanks for listening and tune in next time for It's Time.